There's something which I collected here, which is not in the PowerPoint, and this is a very important discussion, the important premarital questions. Okay, this is something which you all want to write down. These questions make sure you ask your prospective spouse, and the first one is specifically for the males. Okay, males, I'm watching, guys. Make sure you write this down. Brother, are you writing it down? Okay, this is for the males. Okay, are you guys writing? In your female family members. In your female family members. Does anyone have a beard? No, just kidding. Okay, guys, I was just kidding with that, okay? Girls, no beards, okay? And no mustaches as well. All right, so important premarital questions. Okay, so some topics which prospective couples must discuss before they tie the knot. And don't be afraid to ask these questions. But at the same time, you know, don't come with a list of like 100 questions, okay? That's like overdoing it, all right? So don't make a mistake and don't get married without knowing your future spouse's thoughts on these issues. Otherwise, sometimes those same issues can kill a marriage. You know, thinking that you can deal with this issue later in your marriage is a mistake. Number one, obviously the question, you know, we ask is, have you ever been married before? Okay, have you been married before? And are you married now? Okay, especially for the males. Have you been married before or are you married right now? Because sometimes, you know, I officiated one marriage and then later on the guy got busted and the first wife found out that he got married again. So there was a lot of issues and difficulties. Okay, next one. Does religion play an important part in your life? Do you think faith and spirituality are important in marriage? What's your view of hijab or niqab, face covering, or the beard? Do you perform 5 daily prayers if you think that is important to you? And not only that, but the concept of the madhab, or which scholars do you look up to? Which scholars or which madhab do you like or you do not like? Do you have an issue with this madhab or this scholar which I like? Now, this is a very important point because you don't want to get married to someone and later on realize that, you know, they have a different view of how to do things in life. Even though there's nothing wrong with it, and it's sadly to say because of that, sometimes Muslim communities, they're broken up because of the madhab or because of a certain scholar. Let us realize that the different madhabs, the different scholars, different organizations out there, our purpose is one, how we all can be connected with our Creator. Okay, so our hearts should not be filled with rancor and hatred and animosity towards another group or towards another scholar, as long as they're doing things Islamically. Okay, as long as there's nothing wrong with their aqidah and their faith and with their Islam, we should love all the different groups and all the different organizations out there. What's the use of walking around with hatred in our hearts? Because when you have hatred in your heart, then you'll just be a miserable person. But this is an important point because according to some people, they don't like someone from that madhab or they think badly about that scholar. And this will have a negative effect on your married life and your children as well, that they want to bring up their child in one way and you want your children to be brought up in a different way. So the second question is about your faith and religion. The third question is, and this is important, okay, do you have any loans or debts which need to be repaid? If yes, then who will repay the loans? Will your family take care of them, or will I have to take care of it? If so, how are you making progress to eliminate the debt? From school loans to car loans, credit cards to bad spending habits, most people that get married with financial baggage. If one partner has more debt than the other, or worse yet, one partner is debt-free, the sparks can start flying when discussions about income, spending, and debt servicing come up. Okay, so this is important as well. And many times, people get married nowadays and then they realize that their husband or their wife, they have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 loan from their education and from their studies. And eventually, you know, the parents, they're not going to pay for it anymore. Why? Because their daughter or their son is married off. And now the husband, they have to discuss it. Who will take care of it? Will it be from the husband's money? Or will the parents be helping out and all these things? So this is a very important question. Okay, next one. Will you be studying after marriage and for how long? This is an important question that for a male or a female, you're studying right now. So after marriage, will you continue studying? And how long do you want to study for? Question number five, will you be working after marriage and for how long? How many years? We're getting married right now. Do you still want to work after marriage? Or after marriage, I still want to study. Or I want to work after marriage. What is your view on that? That after marriage, will you let me study or not? Will you let me work or not? Okay, so these are important discussions at points which should be brought up in the premarital questions. So next point number six is, when do you want to have children? And also, do you want to have children or not at all? So if the husband has, or the wife has made a decision that I don't want to have children in my marriage, then you need to find that out. Because it is happening nowadays that the husbands or the wives, they go into marriage not wanting children. So that's something which should be questioned about and which should be talked about prior to marriage. We'll be discussing it later on, that you get married right now and you might be young and you're still studying. Okay, you still want to study. Or it's the first couple of years of your marriage and the discussion, the topic of having children. Islamically, are you allowed to use birth control and contraceptives, especially in their first years of marriage, for various reasons? You know, the reason of you're still studying. Because you know that if you have children, then you know it will be hard for you to continue your studies. Or the first couple of years of marriage, and you know that the first year of marriage, this is the most difficult year of your marriage in your life. And you don't want that to be exacerbated because of having children in the first year. Okay, so are you allowed to use contraceptives and birth control for these two reasons specifically? Okay, so that was number six, about children. Number seven, and this is important as well, that our children, that how do you want to bring them up in the future? Do you want to send them to an Islamic school? Do you want to send them to a public school? Do you want to homeschool them? Or for example, you want your future children to be Islamic scholars. What do you want your children to do and to be in the future, and how are you going to take care of their secular education, religious education? This is happening in marriages as well, that the husband wants homeschooling, the wife doesn't, or the wife wants Islamic school, the husband doesn't, husband wants public school, the wife wants Islamic school. And a lot of these fights and quarrels happen many times in marriages nowadays. This is one of the reasons on how to bring up children. I mean, you don't decide yes or no just because of this point, but it's something that you want to keep in front of you when you make your final decision about the person. The next question, that after marriage, where do you want to live? With your parents or separately? And this is specifically also important for the females. You know, this question that they will be asking, that after marriage, you want you to stay with your parents, or are you going to be ready to live alone in a different place after marriage? And as males, we have to realize the person who we are going to marry, you know, she's not your servant. Okay? Don't marry someone with the intention that she's going to take care of your mother and your father. Okay? That's not her duty. That's not her responsibility. And one person said to me that, you know, I want to marry someone and that person should be ready to take care of my mom and my dad. Now, this is a completely wrong outlook. That is not her responsibility. It is your responsibility. The brothers and the sisters, the sons and the daughters of the parents, it is their responsibility to take care of the parents. It is not the responsibility of your wife to be a servant to your parents and your brothers and your sisters and everybody else. You're not marrying someone for the sake of that person taking care of your parents. Okay, and there's a whole discussion to this. Inshallah, if we get time, we'll discuss this issue of where should you be staying and residing after you get married? With your parents or separately? If with your parents, where in the house and things like that? But this is an important point. Next point, and considering what's going on nowadays with all the STDs and STIs and sexually transmitted infections and everything else, that you suffer from any chronic disease or venereal disease or condition? Are you aware that you're infected with an STI, sexually transmitted infection, or any other disease? And are you willing to take a physical exam by a physician before marriage?